Thank God for the life. If you would, open your Bibles to Esther 5 and 1. We have a few minutes so I can give you the cliffhanger for next week. Amen. I want to thank the men that came out yesterday. We had a good time of fellowship. Thank God for surrounding me with strong men. Amen. Thank God for surrounding me with good brothers. Not perfect brothers, but good brothers. If we're looking for the perfect man, then I would ruin it when I showed up. Somebody say amen. What was the movie? A Few Good Men. That's what God is looking for, just men that are committed to him. We're trying to do this thing right. And we're going to walk together. We're on this journey together. I thank God for. And just as the women, as they meet, so important to get plugged in and just build those relationships and be able to just talk and encourage one another. So life has a way of trying to make us think we're the only one going through something and isolate us. And then the devil has a field day in our minds because we've created this whole world that's not according to God's word. Amen. God said, not the forsaking of the assembling of ourselves together. I said, no, you have to come together. Yes. You have to. You're not going to make it alone. So I thank God for the men. I thank God for the women, the youth, the children. I thank God for this sanctuary and this body of believers we call South Bay Abundant Life Church. Amen. Bless you. Esther 5 and 1. Now it came to pass, and you should have that underlined, that it came to pass. Just know that the things you've been praying for according to God's will, they shall come to pass. On the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court, underlined the inner court of the king's house, over against the king's house, and the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house over against the gate of the house. And it was so when the king saw Esther, the queen, standing in the court, that she obtained favor in his sight. And the king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. And Lord, we thank you for your word. Thank you for the power of your word. Thank you, Lord, as we try our best to navigate daily through a dark, dying, decaying world, Lord, that your word is a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our pathway. Thank you, Lord, for illuminating the way so we can see clearly. And the things that we can't see clearly, Lord, we trust that you will show us. But we're on this journey. We're not going to turn to the left or to the right. We're not going to turn back. We're going to continue to walk with you. Open our eyes, Lord, give us revelation knowledge. Reveal yourself to us through your word. And we love you, Lord, and we bless you. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So we should have made a note that Esther had to, for lack of a better word, had to take this death walk, this death march to the king's inner court. The movie was out called The Green Mile, Walking the Green Mile, when they're going to be executed. Esther didn't know. She had hoped and prayed and fasted that she would find favor in the king's sight. But if it went wrong, if it went to the left or to the right, this was her last walk. See, the power of the praying and the fasting. Esther was walking the green mile, walking the green mile. Another note that another thing we made note of was that she had put on her royal apparel. And this time she was clean from the inside out. Take a quick look at Esther 4 and 4. So Esther's maids and her chamberlains came and told it to her. Then was the queen exceedingly grieved. And she sent raiment to clothe Mordecai and to take away his sackcloth from him. But he refused. So in 4:4, she just sent clothes to cover up. Stop all this praying and stuff, all this all this Christian stuff. Stop all this reading the Bible stuff. Stop all this going to church stuff. Put on some clothes. Let's go out. Let's go to the club. Let's go to unhappy hour and let's have some fun. But Mordecai refused. I have to get close to God. God is the only one that can handle this. So that's a big difference. If you compare Esther 4 and 4 to Esther 5 and 1, the difference is she had prayed, she had fasted, and she was clean from the inside out. In 1 Samuel, make a note of it, in 1 Samuel 16:6-7, it says that man judges the outward appearance, but God judges the heart. Let's take a quick look. Turn with me, and now let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 3. And we're talking about the inside out. We're going to kind of be all over the place just a little bit today. And then we'll get back on track. 1 Peter. Well, we're always on track, but, you know. 1 Peter 3. And 3. Well, let me start at 3 and 1. Let's put it all in context. This is a message to wives and husbands, but it's talking about not putting on an outward show, but make sure that your heart is in the right place. 3 and 1. Likewise, you wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, that they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wives. Verse 2, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with reverence. Verse 3, this is where I was trying to go. Whose adorning, let it not be that outward adorning. Same thing, don't focus so much on the outside, but focus on the inside. Verse 3, whose adorning, let it not be the outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair and wearing of gold or of putting on clothes. He's not saying don't get dressed up. You know, some denominations take it out of context and say you can't wear makeup, you can't wear jewelry, you can't. That's not what he's saying. It's not what he's saying. God could care less if you wear makeup. Probably God might even prefer for some of us to wear makeup. Somebody say amen. Amen. God would prefer if you put on some nice clothes and dressed yourself up. Amen. So that's not what he's saying, but this is what he is saying. In verse 4, it says, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God, priceless. It's priceless. That your heart is in the right place, that you stay humble and that you stay meek. See, it's not about what you're wearing that's on the outside. It's about what's on the inside, which is my heart, which is your heart, which is our heart. God does not judge the outside. God judges the heart. Amen. 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 It says, verse 5, for after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God. Don't miss that. See, it's different. If you out there and you doing your thing and you trusting in yourself, then this doesn't apply to you. But for those who are trying to be separate, set apart, and who are trusted, totally committed in God, adorn themselves being subject to their own husbands. We said, you know, whatever your husband preferred is what they wore. And so if you're not married, then you're not subject to somebody telling you what to wear or what not to wear. I think we talked about that last week. When we were in Egypt and they made them wear, you know, certain, had to wrap yourself up and cover yourself up. You shouldn't be wearing anything, ladies. Amen. I mean, you just shouldn't be wearing just anything, you know. Let me clarify that. I mean, you should be wearing something. You shouldn't be wearing just anything. You should be wearing something. I don't know, Ivy. I think I'm losing it up here. I'm sinking fast, brother. Verse 6. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord. See, because that was her husband. She reverenced her husband. She honored her husband. whose daughters you are, as long as you do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Saying that you honor your husband. Oh, all right, here we go. Husbands, I'm not going to let you off the hook and we're going to get back. That wasn't a message, but this is the message within the message. Amen. Likewise, you husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Get to know your wife. I remember one of the first couples retreats I went on. A guy said, why would you want to do anything that would upset your wife? What I did, I went and sat with the guys. It was my first couples retreat. Every year for 28 years that my wife and I have been married, we've gone on a couples retreat, a couples seminar, just because, you know, what you invest in, that's what you get out of, right? So the first one I went and sat with all the guys that we've been married about 20, 30 years and just listened to them. Guy said, why would you want to do anything that gets your wife upset? Another guy said, you know, my wife's been doing that for 30 years, get used to it. I'm like, okay, cool. Why am I worried about that? Why am I stressing out over little stuff, right? Just the wisdom, right? And so that's why I said, likewise, you husband, dwell with them according to knowledge. You understand your wife. You know how to treat her. You should. And that's what you do during the courting stage. You're taking data. You're taking information to see, can I really dwell with this according to knowledge? With everything that I know, can I marry her and deal with it? With everything that I know, can I marry him and deal with it? And if you do, then you dwell together according to knowledge. Giving honor unto the wife, you honor your wife as a weaker vessel, not in ability, but just in physical strength is what it's talking about. Don't miss this. And being heirs together of the grace of life. You are partners. You're heirs together of the grace of life. Men, that your prayers be not hindered. Sometimes as men, we're all upset with our wife, but we're the ones, we're not honoring them. We're not dwelling with them according to knowledge. And God said, brother, I can't even hear you. Go get your stuff together. I can't. Why are you talking to me? You need to go get that right. Remember, if your vertical's not right, your horizontal's not right. Upset with you. Dude, you the one tripping. Go get this right, and then we can talk. And just think about how many of us, our prayers are hindered because we don't even know how to treat our wife. It's no joke. It's no joke when you say I do. Amen. And then look at this. Finally, being you of one mind, having compassion one of another, love as brethren, be compassionate, be courteous. We'd go home after that one, right? Somebody say amen. God, we might as well dismiss church right there. Be compassionate, be courteous. If we could do that, do you know how much issues that would eliminate? All right, that's not where I was trying to go, but that's the message within the message. Verse 4 again, let me get there. But let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God. Who are you trying to impress? Because we're talking in the sight of God is priceless for you to be humble and loving. Not focusing on the outside. Amen. Amen. All right, let's go back to Esther 5 and 1. So there's another message within the message of Esther 5 and 1. It talks about, now it came to pass on the third day that Esther put on her royal apparel and stood in the inner court of the king's house. Over against the king's house, across from the king's house, and the king sat upon his royal throne in the royal house across the gate of the house. So Esther's here and the king's there. You have the outer court, you have the inner court. And then you get into the king's presence, and if you're not right, then you're dead. Or if you're not right, then you're going to get left. Hey, man, I'm glad somebody picked up on that. Yeah, you're going to get left there because you will be dead. It's a interesting comparison to when we come before God. See, because in the Old Testament, only the priests could come before God, and they had to be right when they entered into the tabernacle. All right, let me show you what I'm talking about. Let's go to Exodus chapter 28. If you entered into the inner court, matter of fact, nobody could just enter into the inner court of God. It had to be the priest, and they had to be sanctified and set apart. They had to be washed. It was actually something like a bathtub. Once they went from the outer court, and before they got to the inner court, they had to, it was called a L-A-V-A-R, a lavar, and they had to wash up and get clean before they went into the presence of God. You just couldn't come any kind of way. We know when Christ was crucified and resurrected, the veil of the temple was torn, so that gave us access to God. So they had to go through the outer court, the inner court, then they had to go through the veil, and then there was the presence of God. Christ tore the veil, and so remember, his death gave us access, and then when we die to self, that gives us entrance through our humility and through our commitment to God. So we can approach God, but you just couldn't show up any kind of way. It's going to talk about the robe he had to wear that had bells on the bottom, and they would tie a rope around the priest as he went in. It's because if he wasn't right, somebody say, man, those priests better be glad today it ain't like that, boy, because I'm not going to start talking about them. They be dropping like flies, though, all right? Hey, some pastors, too, right? Amen. They tie the rope around you, and you have bells on the bottom, and you walking into the holies of holies, to the presence of God on behalf of the people. You're offering sin offerings so that God won't destroy the people. And if you're not right, when you get into the presence, you drop dead. And if they didn't hear the bells, then they got the rope and they pulled you out because they couldn't go in. Let's get him. No, because everybody's lit. No, maybe they found out the hard way. So look how it was 28 and 31. Did I say Exodus 28 and 31?
Yeah.
And thou shalt make the robe of the ephod all of blue. And there shall be an hole in the top of it, and the midst thereof, it shall have a binding of woven work round about the whole of it, as it were the whole of a habergeon, that it be not torn. So they're not, he's saying that, you know how you're, when they make these on, they have the little stuff tied around them so that it just doesn't unravel. On your suit, your jacket, I know my mother-in-law is a seamstress, so she knows how to really create clothes and everything else. So that's what God is saying. As he puts this thing on, it's not cheap, it's quality. It has to be all blue. Think about it now. Listen to the details. You have to understand that we serve a God of details. So the little things that we think God doesn't see, or he's not cool with, or he doesn't really matter, I just don't know, because if they didn't do this exactly the way that he told them, there's always an issue with the disobedience. So make a note within the note that we serve a God of detail. Look at the detail. All right, he told them how to put the holes in your clothes. Who cares? Just cut a piece, put it up. No. You tighten it up so it doesn't fall apart. It can't tear. Verse 33, and beneath upon the hem of it, thou shalt make what we would call, growing up, Maria knows this, we would call them plumograms, but it's actually pomegranates. Okay? You should make pomegranates of blue and of purple and of scarlet round about the hem thereof, and bells of gold between them round about. So at the hem, you got the bells and you got the plumograms. All right. Verse 34, and a golden bell and a pomegranate, a golden bell and a pomegranate upon the hem of the robe found about. And it shall be upon Aaron to minister. So Aaron was the priest. So, you know, and when you compare this to Hebrews, it talks about how Jesus Christ is our priest now. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is our high priest. It doesn't get any higher than Jesus Christ. And his sound shall be heard when he goeth in unto the holy place before the Lord, and when he come out, that he die not. So when you don't hear the sound, you know he's dead, you pull him out. So that's how they had to know if he was still alive. That's why the bells are down there, so you can hear him walking about ministering unto God. And look at this. And thou shalt make a plate, verse 36, and you shall make a plate of pure gold and grave upon it like the engravings of a signet. There's that signet. There's that seal. There's that engraving. Holiness to the Lord. So he had a turban wrapped around his head and he had a gold plate up there that said holiness unto God. Holiness to the Lord. And it was engraved. It wasn't just written on there in crayon or marker or so it could be wiped off. It was engraved. Just like his seal should be engraved in our heart, that we never forget that we should be holiness to the Lord, that we should be set apart. We should be separate. It should be something different with us. We shouldn't feel comfortable here because we've been set apart. Holiness, which means separated for the Lord's work. And thou shalt put it on a blue lace. Man, I want to put it on a green lace or a red lace. You can do your own thing if you want to, but just know there's consequences. God said, put it on a blue lace that it may be upon. Why? Because God said so. Right? Sometimes your parents will pull that on you. Sometimes they say, yes, do it because they say, why? Do it because I said so. Why? Because I said so. So I told it. So either you do it or you don't. I'm not giving an explanation this time. I'm just saying do it. You can argue, do your own thing. Put on a green lace, put on a purple lace, put on a orange lace. I don't care. But watch and see what's going to happen. Thou shalt put on a blue lace that it may be upon the mitre. Upon the front of the mitre it shall be. And it shall be upon Aaron's forehead that Aaron may bear the iniquity of the holy things which the children of Israel shall hallow in all their holy gifts, and it shall be always upon his forehead that they may be accepted before the Lord. So Aaron takes all the sin of the people, puts it on him, comes a sacrifice so that God doesn't destroy the people. Sound familiar? Jesus Christ took all our sins upon him. So that when we stand before God, Jesus Christ is in our heart and God says, that's my son in whom I'm well pleased. But without the sacrifice of Christ, the lamb once and for all we can stand before God is with a bunch of sin. And God will say, depart from me. I never knew you. And so instead of Aaron having to go every day, all the time on behalf of the people, Christ did it once and for all for us, that we might be accepted before the Lord. Amen? Amen. So you just couldn't go to the inner court. Now we can, you and I, we can. That's why worship is more than music. It's your heart connecting with God. Our heart can connect with God's heart in the inner court of our homes, in the inner court of our cars. You can connect with God. The presence of God is with us. He lives within us now. We don't have to go to him. He's come to us in the form of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's why in Ephesians, I think it was 4:31, it says, grieve not the Holy Spirit. Don't stress out the Holy Spirit. You don't have to go through all this now. The Holy Spirit's within you. Don't disrespect him. Don't break his heart. Get it together. Holy Spirit all stressed out in the corner looking at you going, oh, man. Man, I can't believe you're doing that again. And you're really starting to stress me out right now. Don't stress him out. We don't have to go through this. The grace of God has made it easy for us. Don't disrespect the grace of God. Amen. All right, let's go back to Esther really quickly. Esther 5:1. All right, so now we have the backdrop on how Esther is clean from the inside out. How crucial it is when you go into the inner court to face the king, and if you're not right, that is your death march. How the king's heart is in the hand of the Lord, he turns it whichever way he wants to. We talked about, I noticed how there were 8 things that Esther received our benefits that came through her fasting and prayer. So we talked about it being verse 2. And it was so when the king saw Esther the queen standing in the court that she obtained favor. So we knew number 1 was favor in his sight. The king held out to Esther the golden scepter that was in his hand. So Esther drew near and touched the top of the scepter. Then said the king unto unto her, what will thou, Queen Esther, and what is thy request? It shall be given thee to half of the kingdom. So we thank God that when they were praying specifically, we talked about it last week, that they prayed specifically that the king would ask us, what do we want? And so she goes in and he doesn't have small talk. He gets right to the point. What do you want? It shall be given thee to half the kingdom. Let me show you something else. Go back with me to 2 Chronicles. I think that's just a couple of books back. 2 Chronicles 1. I want to explore just really quickly, and then this being first Sunday, you know, our time goes by a little bit faster, and we'll pick it up here next week. But look at 1 Chronicles. 2 Chronicles. Did I say 2 Chronicles or 1st? I said both, right? Okay. 2 Chronicles, chapter 1, Miss Natalie, verse 7. So the king asked Esther, what do you want? Think about that. And look at right here. In that night did God appear unto Solomon and said unto him, ask what I should give you. Amen. We all serve the same God, Sister Kathy. I know. I've been reading your notes. Sister Sherry faxed them over to me yesterday. All right. So here's my question. So the king, and we know we serve the King of Kings. So the king asked Esther, what do you want? And here is God asking Solomon, what do you want? And so here's our question. How do you get yourself in a position where God talks to you and asks you, what do you want? Mm-hmm. How do you position yourself so that you can get that type of response where God says, okay, I hear you, I'm responding. What do you want? Of course, you know, me being the cliffhanger, I'm going to tell you next week. Amen. Amen. Our time's up. Our time's up. Our time is up. It's first Sunday we had, but we'll be on it. Hey, let's pray really quickly. So God is speaking to our heart. Okay, number one, make sure we are clean from the inside out, not the outside in, not covering stuff up, but actually clean from the inside out. Then God is saying, when you come to the inner court, when you come into my presence, get yourself together, repent of that unconfessed sin, and come to me. Get yourself in a position so God can speak to your heart and ask you, what do you want? And how do you respond to that? You have to respond according to God's will. But God is growing us up where we can walk in power, where we can live in power, that we can preach and teach and share in power, whether we're at the gym, at the job, at the park. Your light will shine before people because you're walking with God. They'll see it in you and want to know, what is it about you? And then you share with them the gospel of Jesus Christ, how he has the power to change lives. So I want to pray really quickly. Maybe someone's here and say, Pastor, I've never accepted Christ in my heart. He's not engraved on my heart. I'm not filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't have the power yet because I haven't committed my life to Christ. If that's you, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray with you this morning. Or maybe you're here and you say, Pastor, I just need to rededicate. I just need to get back in line with God. Got to stop just being up and down and playing games. I got to keep striving. I got to take 3 steps forward without taking a step back. If that's you and you want to rededicate this morning, elevate your hand. I'd love to pray with you and for you. Maybe you hear you say, Pastor, I just need a place where I can come in fellowship with no games, no tricks, no gimmicks. Where the presence of God is, people love God and people love God's people. And people love people and love to do the will of God. Not a perfect church, because when we joined you and I, we'd mess it up. But a church that's loyal to God, that's committed to God and living for God. If that's you and you're looking for a church home, elevate your hand. I'd love to be your pastor. We'd love to be your family. We're not members, we're family. Thank you, Lord, for loving us and caring enough for us to leave your word to teach us. Thank you for showing us that you do respond to your people. If we get rid of all the clutter and everything else in our life, we can hear you. So, God, give us the heart to want to go after you like we go after other things. Let us commit our lives to you. Let us put you first and not second, third, or fourth. Thank you for this opportunity, Lord. Come to a place to get renewed and refreshed and revived through your Holy Spirit with other saints. What a blessing. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, before we dismiss, last week was our Youth Sunday, and Pastor was so excited about, I don't know what, but something. And Sierra was supposed to close us last week. So I've asked Sierra, I took my notes. Hey, let me get a microphone. Which one is the testing? Amen. Can you all hear me? Yes. Of course, because I have on this end. Anyway. So Sierra's going to close us out. And she would have done this last week, but Pastor forgot to have her come up. So let's show some love to Miss Sierra, one of our outstanding youth in the youth department under the leadership of Brother Raymond and the rest of the youth leaders. So you ready, Sister Sierra? All right, let's stand to our feet.
Monday through Saturday, Lord, and I just ask that you bless those who are in need, Lord, and help them and strengthen, Lord, and ask you that we love one another and care for one another, Lord. And I just ask that you bring more people into South Carolina Bible Church, Lord, and just allow them to be in your path, Lord. And Lord, I just ask that you strengthen us and you do what you can for us, Lord. And I thank you for loving us and being there for us, Lord. And just thank you for the family that we have, Lord.
Amen. Outstanding. Love you, Sierra. Thank you so much. And sorry about last week. You know you're my favorite, too. I don't know how I forgot that. Thank you. Amen. You are dismissed. Love you. God bless you, South Bay. Amen. All right, Sister Cindy. Why are you trying to show off?
Hey, Uncle Jay, can I have 5 or 10 minutes of your time, please?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right. You want to go to the office?
Yeah.
Oh, they might be counting in there. So let's see if we could... Oh, man. I should have called you up, man. I don't know what I meant to do that when you told me. And you see how your mind... Man, especially when you get over 50, man, it'd be like...
themselves don't right. Work the same way. All right, well, appreciate it.
Yeah. When you'll be back?
Around, if not Thanksgiving, Christmas.
Wow. That's right, man, because, you know, it's a business for you guys. You know what I'm saying?
We're on the road a lot.
Okay.
We're on a lot now.
So. All right. Yeah, and you guys, you got your scholarship. You got, hey, You got your free education? I mean, it's not really free because it's a price.
It's free.
You're right. Love you, Big E.
Love
Thank
you,
you,
man. Appreciate everything.
We'll be covering you in prayer, brother. Let me get myself together here. Hey, young lady.
Hi, Carter. I love you too.
Appreciate you. All right. Good seeing you, dear.